Preach a message that really, I think, not specifically to mums, not to grandmas, but to all of us. And as I was thinking about this, all of us go through different circumstances, different challenges, and face different situations that have the potential to overwhelm us. And overwhelming us, by that I mean not just a few moments of anxiety, but I mean overwhelm us so that we start to drown under pressure. We start to not really see clearly. We can sometimes get into situations where we just don't know how we're going to get through. And after a little while, we're not just worried about the future, or we don't have a sense of purpose and vision for the future. We're just struggling to stay afloat, let alone be soaring. And so this morning, the message I want to preach is really about how do you, when you're overwhelmed, soar again. And so I want to encourage you today, if you feel like, man, I'm just one foot after the other, I'm overwhelmed, I'm struggling, I'm stressed, I've got all of these things overwhelming my life, whatever it might be, I want to encourage you that it's time to soar again. Hashtag, it's time to soar again. I didn't check that out. Hopefully that's legitimate. I've given out some sus hashtags before, and then you go, don't look at that. That's not good. So pretty sure that one's safe. Soar again, all right? So here's the thing. We all face challenging things. In the world that we live in, don't go on there and embarrass me if it's really bad. All right. Here's the thing. All of us, soar again. That's got to be safe, right? Yeah, thank you. Okay, it sounds safe. All right. Now, let me just talk about a few things that each of us could easily be overwhelmed by. And it's the world we live in, okay? But I want to talk about these things and locate us where we are, because it's not unusual to be experienced some overwhelming circumstances. It's normal for the world we live in. It's just that we don't want to live under those day in, day out. And we want to know how we get out of living overwhelmed. So here's some of the things that can overwhelm people. Fear and negativity. We live in a society where we're bombarded every day by news. And all you got to do is turn the TV on, turn the news on. Negativity, looming wars, terror, unstable political environments, all sorts of things can keep us living in it. In just the world's coming to an end. It's all bad negativity. That can be overwhelming if you focus on it too much. And I'm sure the guys who've just come back from Compassion, sometimes you can walk into a situation and be overwhelmed by just the sense of need that's almost untouchable. Remember, we went to Africa earlier in this year, to Uganda, and we went into some areas that were definitely overwhelmed by poverty, and you saw malnourished children and impossible situations, and that need, that sense of overwhelming need, it can just weigh you right out. What do I do? How do I deal with this? How do I make a difference? It can burden you beyond what you should be burdened with. Sometimes responsibilities can overwhelm us, and we're juggling different pressures and things that we're responsible for, things we have to deal with, things that you've got to make happen, deadlines you've got to meet at work or at school or university, different pressures that you're facing. And if you're not careful, that can overwhelm. Comparisons. Oh my goodness. We live in the age of social media. And, you know, 25, 30 years ago, the world of comparison, it was not what I would say. It's an epidemic at the moment for so many people, particularly young people. The amount of teenagers who are facing mental health issues and anxiety purely because they're living in the world of comparing themselves to others and what's in their face, it can be extremely overwhelming. As a pastor, I can see pastors who have, you know, visited 15 people, prepared an awesome message, they've done all this stuff, and it's Monday lunchtime and they put it up on Instagram. I'm like, oh, you're killing me. I can feel, you know, I've talked to mums who are like, oh, you know, there's some people and they put their best moment up, of course, but mum, she's been for one hour workout at the gym, the children are all beautiful, the lunches are made delightfully, she's read a book, she's written poetry, and it's 7:30 on Monday morning, and you're like, don't put that on Instagram, that's not real. But we can get ourselves living in the shadow of Supermum or someone else that's not real because it's their best moment ever. And if you compare yourself to someone's best moment, then of course all of us are going to come up short. Comparison can get us mentally living in a world of being overwhelmed. What else? It might be the future. You might be having a looming retirement. You're going to retire soon, and you're like, the uncertainty of the future can be overwhelming. Maybe there's a work situation. You're not sure how long your job is going to be there. You're not sure if there's cutbacks happening, and are you going to survive in your workplace? Maybe there's big decisions you need to make about your career. Maybe you've lost a significant person in your life and it's overwhelming you and you're not sure how you're going to get through things in the future. Maybe it's a relationship conflict that you're facing or been through. And for me personally, relationship challenges and conflicts that are the closest to home and can produce the most sense of anxiety and stress and overwhelming pressure in our world. Maybe it's your schedule. I know the pressure of schedule. I say this every now and then, sometimes with the different responsibilities I have with our church and family and a business and then some hats I wear for C3. Sometimes I look at my schedule and it's like I've got a suitcase here and way too many clothes to shove them all in. I'm trying, how do you fit it all in? It can be, and if you're not careful, you can begin to sink under and begin to be overwhelmed by the pressures of all the things you've got to do and what you're unable to get them towards. And so all of these things can really get us into an emotional state of not just a moment, but living overwhelmed. And I want to help us this morning. Over the last few months, we've done a number of messages and series at church where we've looked at things like stress and anxiety and dealing with anger and grief. We've talked about dealing with difficult people. We've talked about how to have a better marriage. Sometimes they're the same thing. We've began a series. Let's be real here. It can be for some time, some seasons, and that's just me being a pain for my wife. So last week we began a series on dealing with mastering money, dealing with your finances. And so we talk a lot about practical ways to deal with the life pressures. And I want to encourage you to tune in to get the podcasts that we have on our church. We've got a number of them. You can go and you can listen to them and they can help you with practical keys. Okay. Practical keys in this realm. But this morning, I don't want to so much get into practical keys. I want to take a spiritual look at how when you're overwhelmed, you can soar again. I want to just unpack three very simple things, three very simple habits, practices, that if you make these part of your life, then you're going to, that doesn't mean pressure's not going to come. It doesn't mean curveballs aren't going to come into your life. It doesn't mean it's going to be not messy. Yes, it's going to be messy. Yes, it's going to be crazy at times. Yes, it's going to be unfair. Yes, life is going to be difficult. But if you've got certain habits in place, how to get through the storms, the craziness, the seasons of difficulty, the seasons where things go wrong. Too many people can get this idea. If I become a Christian, I won't have any problems. I'm like, hello, welcome to the real world. Now, here's the thing. God loves every one of us. When we let him into our life, he'll come in and he'll help us. And he does do miracles and he does turn situations around. And if as our faith grows, but often God leaves us in challenging situations, not because rescuing us out of it wouldn't be the best thing for us. Sometimes as a parent and my kids are going through something and they're like, Dad, I just need some money and it'll fix this problem. I'm like, well, actually what will fix the problem is learning not to get in this situation again. I know that was just a bit of parenting advice there for myself and just helping. Anyway, so we can be like, oh God, get me out. God's like, no, I want to grow you. I want to develop you. I want to help you. I want to increase your capacity. And other times he rescues us out of a situation. But often what happens is God, in the middle of a war, he prepares a table for us, David says in the Psalms. When there's a battle raging on, he says, look, I'll give you a feast so you don't have to have the battle on the inside as well as the outside. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning, how we can soar again and have the habits to stay in that zone. So let's have a look at Psalm chapter 61. Psalm chapter 61. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is going to help you if you're overwhelmed. Now turn to your other neighbor who is your second church and second choice and say, now listen in right now because this is really going to help you. And I'm sorry that you are my second choice. King David wrote these psalms. And he was used to being overwhelmed. He had enemies chasing him, brothers who didn't like him. He faced Goliath, who was intimidating. He had people he were leading at one point turned against him and threatened to stone him. And I'm not talking about an experience where he would get high, but actually stone him with stones. All right. So he understood what it was to be overwhelmed by life circumstances. And he wrote this psalm, and it's in the New King James in Psalm chapter 61. It says this: "Hear my cry, O God." Now I love this. "Attend to my prayer from the ends of the earth." When I feel like I'm far, far away from God, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle, or your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. David, when his heart is overwhelmed. See, there's a difference between you having overwhelming circumstances and thoughts, and those thoughts getting into your heart. Because when things get into your heart, the Bible talks about this, when anxieties and stress gets into your heart, it causes depression. It causes living depressed, not just fighting off anxious thoughts. And so the first thing that David does right here is he cries out to God. When you're overwhelmed, when I'm overwhelmed, if we can learn to let God be the first one that we turn to, be the one that we cry out to. I'm turning to God. So much of the problem in our society is where people are overwhelmed, but rather than turning to God, they turn to something for escape. And turn to, oh, I'll do something that will numb the pain for a few moments. I'll do something that will shut out everybody and all the pain and the problems that are overwhelming me. But the answer to dealing with pain and pressure that overwhelms is not numbing the pain, it's turning to God. And so David turns to God. Hear my cry, attend to my prayer when my heart is overwhelmed. He gives four pictures of what God can be like for the overwhelmed person. Four pictures. The first one is a picture of lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's like when there's a flood going on and you're drowning in this flood, and God just reaches in and he brings you up and puts you on a rock that's at a higher level than where the flood is raging. It's like a dad reaching into a swimming pool when a kid's drowning and just going, bam, picking you up and putting you on the concrete on the side of the pool. And it's a reaching in and a rescuing. That's what God wants to do. It doesn't mean the flood goes away. It means God just puts us up on a higher ground. It means another analogy or metaphor he gives is a shelter from a storm, a crazy hurricane, and run into a bunker. And God is the bunker, the refuge, the shelter from the storm. The storm hasn't changed, but I found refuge in God. It's like a strong tower from the enemy. This enemy, and David knew what it was, to have enemies charging at him and raging at him. And God is like a strong tower. We went and visited in London, the Tower of London. I think we've got a photo of this place, the Tower of London. And we actually did a tour with a beefeater who's an army guy who'd served for 20 years, and now he gets to be a beefeater and do tours around it. It was hilarious. The guy just told gruesome story after gruesome story. It was actually quite funny. There were some little kids, and he just looked at them all and goes, "Thanks for coming, little kids. You're going to have nightmares for weeks after this." And it was true. He told about stories of decapitations gone wrong. Oh, it was horrific. And there was a dungeon you could go into for the really gory stories. Anyway, just moving along. So the tower, I digress, but the Tower of London, or the whole idea of a tower, is when the enemy is coming against you and you're in a battle, but you withdraw and the drawbridge comes up and there's the moat and there's the walls and you stand behind these 6-foot thick walls, and suddenly you've got a protection. It's not like the enemy ceased, it's you just got protection. And that's what God is like, a metaphor. He's the tower of strength. And the last one David says, he said, "I will trust in the shelter of your wings. That's like the mother hen who collects the little baby chicks and brings them in under her wings to a warm, safe, protected place. This is the picture of what God wants to be like for you and for me when we're overwhelmed and when that is threatening to drown us in our circumstances. So I want to talk right now then, okay, well, how, you know, that's awesome, John. Great metaphors. He's a tower. He's a chicken. You know, he's like, he pulls me up on a rock. Great metaphors. But really, practically, how does that work? Because I don't know about you, but I haven't literally seen God pull anyone out and put them on a rock. So how does it work? How does God lift me above my circumstances? How does he lift me above the things that will overwhelm me? And I want to just talk about three simple habits that for me, I learned from someone many, many years ago, and I put in practice in my life. And as responsibility and pressure and schedules and finding out all the different stresses that come upon us, as they've come upon us, these things have helped me. I've been overwhelmed, certainly. I've struggled with different things, absolutely. But they've helped me live above the circumstances. And I want you to live above your circumstances. It's time for you to soar again. There's some people who've come in here today and you just can't see any way forward. I'm telling you today, even today, something's going to get in your heart that's going to allow you to come above your circumstance, above what's overwhelming you, and you are going to soar again. Come on, give the Lord a clap if you believe that. All right, the first one, we've got three of them. The first one is simply God's strength will come into you through his word. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says this, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Anxiety in a man's heart. Here's the thing, when pressure and stress gets into our heart, that's what will cause depression. That's what will weigh us down. Guarding your heart is the key issue of life, it says in another proverb. Protect your heart so that those bombarding thoughts don't get into your world. But a good word will make him glad. A good word. Something. So what this is talking about is this Bible was written years ago by all different authors who were anointed by God, but really it was the Holy Spirit who moved through people and he got them to record the living words that were spoken by God on paper. So as you read this Bible, something absolutely, if you've got God's Holy Spirit in your life, if God lives in you, here's the thing. The Bible doesn't make sense until you get God into your life. The Bible won't be a living, changing book until you let God come into your life. At the end of the service, if you've never invited God into your life, there's going to be a chance to pray a prayer and God will come into your world and suddenly this book will become the living Bible to you. It will become alive and the source of hope and inspiration. So what I've determined to do over the years, and I heard from someone many years ago, every day, just start the day by reading something out of this Bible because God wants to speak to you out of it. He wants it not to be historical. He doesn't want it just to be educational. He doesn't want it just to be a manual. He wants to actually talk to you using this Bible. So it might be that I read a couple of verses. It might be that I read a chapter or two or a couple of pages, but you'll be amazed how God will help when you're overwhelmed by just, it's amazing, like a word from God when you're overwhelmed, just like, oh, that's just strength to me. If you've ever fasted or gone without food and then you start eating some protein, you eat some eggs, you eat some chicken, you can almost feel it running into your system and giving you strength. That's what the Word of God is like. I'm overwhelmed. I'm drowning. And then you're reading and this verse just comes alive. You're like, no way. God knows. He knows my exact need. About 2.5 years ago, Danielle and I, led by God, sold our house, believing God for a new house. And it was just this whole faith journey we went on. God spoke to us, gave us promises. And so we did this. We sold our house. We took all of the goods and we put them in storage with a removalist. And what we did is said, let's have a holiday, stay in a holiday house. Let's find a new home that God wants to give us and he'll provide for us. And then within 4 or 5 weeks, we'll move into our new home. It'll be just awesome. It's like, how hard can that be? Bam, bam, bam. Thank you, Lord. Well, we sold our house. Awesome. Our stuff went into storage and a battle began, a spiritual battle and a practical battle. And we stayed in a removalist house. So we actually got asked to leave one, but we don't know actually why. We were being really nice. We in a holiday house. And so we moved and it began to get quite hard. In fact, it began to get very hard. And we went through milestone after milestone and had to go back to the removalist center to find things that we didn't think we'd need. Danielle's shoes were getting eaten by the dog. Our kids were putting holes in walls, vigorous young children around the flange. Things were going on and we were just moving from place to place. And it was stressful. It was overwhelming, not just practically, but also because we were fighting for a promise that God had given us and it didn't seem like God was answering. So there was two levels of overwhelming, one on a practical level, but the other, this spiritual fight. And I remember one morning in the middle of this thing, and we'd had some really challenging moments and it was just heavy because it was such a fight. And I remember one morning, I'm like, are we just crazy? I'm literally saying this to myself. Are we just crazy? What are we doing believing for this miracle house that's at a level that's beyond where we've been and we want all these things, but doesn't look like it's even physically possible? Are we just crazy? And then as my habit is, and this is the kicker, as my habit is, I open my Bible for my morning reading with my coffee so that caffeine and the Word of God can be supernaturally infused into my body. Have I got an amen in the house here today? All right. So as I'm having that, I read down. We're just crazy. What's going on? And this verse, I read it literally. I write it in my journal. It says, if it seems that we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And it's like, no way. And you know what? As immediately as I read that word, it goes boom into my heart as God speaks to me and strength comes. And then instead of drowning under the water and being overwhelmed, bam, buoyancy kicks back into my spirit and my soul. No, I'm on track. God is speaking to me. This is the power of the Word of God. Whatever it is you're facing, God's got a word for you tomorrow morning. He's got another word for you Tuesday morning. He's got another word for you Wednesday. He loves talking to you. He loves illuminating His word. It will not, if anxiety is getting in your heart, the Word of God will bring you up above it. A good word will strengthen you. It will make you glad. That's the Word of God. Okay, number two. So this is the Word of God will get us above it. Number two, times of prayer, times of worship. Jesus was the great model for this. Jesus was overwhelmed. You can imagine the circumstances. He had to change the world in 3 years. That's pretty big pressure. He had to be the savior of the world. The people he came to rescue hated him, were threatened by him, intimidated by him, ended up crucifying him. The disciples that he was going to change the world with were often more interested in who got to sit where at the best seats at the table than changing the world. The Romans were brutal in their hatred of the people that he was representing. You can understand that Jesus at points got so overwhelmed that he sweated tears of blood. He sweated blood. That's overwhelmed. But in the middle of the overwhelming, Jesus showed us, how do I cope with expectation, responsibility, pressure, schedules, people's demands on me? How do I do it? The Bible gives us one little verse that gives us a great little insight. And it says in Luke 5:16, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He often withdrew. You and I need to often withdraw. It's just the more overwhelming it is, the more we need to withdraw. The more we need to, and I'm not talking about withdraw from God's people or withdraw from church, okay? I'm going to get to that as my third point. I'm talking about we just need to withdraw sometimes from some media. Turn it off. Withdraw from that. Sometimes we need to withdraw from watching the TV or that Facebook or whatever it is. Sometimes we just need to withdraw from things that are good, but they're not strengthening us when we're overwhelmed. If our mindset is that I'm just going to escape so that I feel better rather than withdraw to God, you'll find you'll escape for a few moments and you'll come back, but you won't have any buoyancy or strength from the escape. The buoyancy that will come to your soul will come from God. Jesus often withdrew to spend time with his father. I love the story of Susanna Wesley. She had 19 kids right there, Mother's Day award. 19 kids, all right? And she had a passion that her kids would be used by God. Eventually, they were, two of them, Charles and John Wesley, started the Wesleyan Methodist movement, became the most amazing leaders in the Christian world. Okay, they were phenomenal. But she said, I want to pray every day for my children. And they went through challenges and difficult things. So she eventually got this deal. She would wear an apron. She eventually got this deal where she'd tell her kids, okay, when mama has the apron over her head, do not disturb her because she's praying. And she would spend time, and I'm not sure if she had 19 iPads going all the one time with the kids. Probably not. Probably some other sort of system. Probably all doing the laundry and the dishes and stuff. I don't know. But she would withdraw and she'd spend time with God. Didn't need to go on a massive retreat. She just found time in her normal life to spend some time with God. And here's the thing. I just, Dan and I sometimes say to each other, how do people cope with that pressure that they're going through right now without God? How are they getting through that pressure that they're facing right now without that peace that you can only get from God, without that whisper that only comes from God? I love, for me, when I pray most, you know, most mornings I would pray and I'll put some worship music on, and I'm a lot of the time what I'm looking to do is just, first of all, get above the anxious thoughts that I have. That's the start of it. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got this. I've got this pressure, this situation, that thing. And my mind starts to go. So my prayer is, I'm just going to worship the Lord because I need to live above this stuff. If I don't pray, I soon start to sink. I'm not that spiritually alive that I don't need to pray. What brings me alive is that I pray. And as I pray, I just spend, it only has to be a few moments sometimes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But you'll find that as you seek God, as you withdraw, God will speak to you. A whisper will come into your heart. You'll get clothed with, instead of anxiety, I know what it is to be clothed with anxiety and feel the stress in my body, but it's such a, I say magic in the right way. It's a magic feeling when I go into the prayer room clothed with anxiety, and 5 minutes in or 10 minutes in or 15 minutes in of worship and lifting my eyes above my problem, suddenly I physically get a sense of the love and presence of God that clothes me. It's like, this is going to be okay. God's got this. And it's just wouldn't happen if I didn't withdraw. It's not just, I'm not talking about on the run prayer. Where's your secret place? Where do you withdraw to? And the love of God can get on you. The whisper of God can get into your heart. And suddenly you're living on top. You can be in the worst situation of your life, but live on top because of the touch of God. And as the keyboardist comes, there's this last thought right now is, the Word of God, the prayer zone that we get into, prayer and worship zone, the last one is the gathering with His people. Let me read this scripture to you. So let's do it, says in Hebrews chapter 10. Full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip, I love that, on the promises that keep us going. Hang on to the promises God's given you already. He always keeps His Word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging, loving, and helping out each other. Not avoiding worshiping together, as some do. Not withdrawing from worshiping together. Don't do that. Don't withdraw from connecting together. It's Connect Group Week this week. Don't withdraw from that. That's pivotal. But spurring each other on as we see the big day approaching. That's the return of Jesus. There's something powerful when we gather together. It's awesome to read the Word on my own. It's awesome to pray on my own. But when we get together and I need a lift up, your faith inspires me. Your passion. I was just over here before. I love to hear Bruce McCready worshiping in his operatic worship voice. I turn to Jeremy and just like, it's just not the same unless I've got Bruce behind me singing. And he's singing. And it's like, you know what? There's something sparks on the inside. Why? Because God on and in Him flows towards me. We're not supposed to do our life on our own. We're not supposed to do this journey without each other. Worship on your own is awesome, but it cannot replace worship together. Listening to a podcast is awesome, but it won't replace the Word of God being preached or just reading the Word yourself and getting your own stuff. That's the big one. And so when we gather together, when we gather in homes, when we gather in cafes, when we gather in church, something happens. Faith sparks where there is no faith. Life comes into you where there is no life. Hope comes into you where things are being dark. Last year, I was facing a health challenge and we had some time out, and I was just starting to get me down. And we visited a church in Melbourne just for one day. And about half an hour through the service, they're believing for miracles and they're praying and different things are happening. And halfway through, it's just like the switch just got flicked. Go to faith, John. It's just, and I just felt like an injection of faith came into me. It's like, that's right. I'm a faith guy. I believe God. I needed an atmosphere where that was injected into me. Just infused through atmosphere. That's why we come to church. That's why we gather together, to get the atmosphere of God today. And so today, as we come to a close, why don't you close your eyes? It's time to soar again above that situation that's been overwhelming you. It's time to soar again above the difficulties that you've been facing. The Word of God, He wants to speak to you. The atmosphere of prayer, He wants to lift anxieties off you. Clothe you with His love. Gathering together, He wants to spark faith in your heart.